Have you all realized your true nature? Do you know that you are Sat Chit Ananda? Not the body or the history, not the mind, not the artificial personality. You were never born. You have no past. You are pure presence, eternal, timeless. Do you realize your uncreated nature? Do you live in that nature or in the false nature of the ego? Are you liberated from the delusion of body identification and of addiction to the lower mind and its false thoughts? Have you liberated yourself? Master Huang Po will give us some more insight into that subject. This is number 14 of the teachings. If you, students of the Tao, desire knowledge of this great mystery, only avoid attachment to any single thing beyond mind. Have you freed yourself from all attachments to anything that the mind can conjure up as an object and realize mind itself in its purity as what you are? To say that the real Dharmakaya, Dharmakaya means the body of Buddha, the real body that is not a physical body, nor a mental body, nor any other sort of body. To say that the real Dharmakaya of the Buddha resembles the void, the emptiness, shunyata, is another way of saying that the Dharmakaya is the void. So the body of the Buddha must be your body, because Buddha means the awakened consciousness, and that awakened consciousness is empty, formless. So the Dharmakaya is the void, and the void is the Dharmakaya. Your nature is empty of any attributes of any objective sort, other than Satchidananda. People often claim that the Dharmakaya is in the void, and that the void contains the Dharmakaya, not realizing that they are one and the same. Very often in meditation, someone will reach a point of entering into that infinite space of consciousness, and suddenly they'll feel terrified of being in the void with nothing to hold on to, nothing to give a sense of security or grounding, and they'll fall back into gross consciousness. Because they won't realize that that infinity that they were afraid of is actually the self. Why be afraid of yourself? Be afraid of not knowing yourself. So, if you define the void as something existing, then it is not the Dharmakaya. And if you define the Dharmakaya, the body of God, let us say, as something existing, then it is not the emptiness. So only refrain from any objective conception of the void, of emptiness, of consciousness, of presence that is absence. Refrain from any objective conception, because there are no objects, certainly not the self. Then it is the Dharmakaya, and only if you refrain from any objective conception of the Dharmakaya, then it is the void. These two do not differ from each other, nor is there any difference between sentient beings and Buddhas. There cannot be a difference between sentient beings and Buddhas, because the Buddhas recognize that there is only the one light. But the sentient being thinks there's a difference. But there is a source of this light. There is a supreme beingness. And so long as there is any trace of any conceptualization at all, one is not yet the realized Buddha nature. And therefore there is a being higher to whom one must surrender and merge into through the realization of the emptiness of one's thought. So there is no difference between samsara and nirvana, or between delusion and bodhi, or awakening. When all such forms are abandoned, then there is the Buddha. The forms meaning the differentiation, the conceptualization of those differences that produce an illusory objective hierarchy of matter and mind. Ordinary people look to their surroundings, while followers of the Tao look to the great mind. But the true Dharma is to forget them both. In other words, to forget all concepts in order to be that which is real, that cannot be thought. The former is easy enough, the latter very difficult. It's very difficult, he says, to forget everything, to know absolutely nothing, but to be. Men are very afraid to forget their minds, fearing to fall through the void with nothing to stay their fall. They do not know that the void is not really void, but it is the realm of the real Dharma. In other words, the void that you fall into is God, is the infinite absolute. Not nothingness, but it is nothingness to an objective something, which is an illusion. This spiritually enlightening nature is without beginning, as ancient as the void, subject neither to birth nor to destruction, neither existing nor not existing, neither impure nor pure, neither clamorous nor silent, neither old nor young, occupying no space, having neither inside nor outside, size nor form, color nor sound. When we reach the Absolute, we cannot call it by any name or imagine any form whatsoever. And it is the forgetting of that tendency, the dropping of the desire to grasp and therefore be different from, that alone enables the entrance into that final level of the ultimate real, beyond even the Dharmakaya, beyond all that could be imagined or thought. It cannot be looked for or sought, comprehended by wisdom or knowledge, explained in words, contacted materially, or reached by meritorious achievement. So it doesn't matter how good you are. It doesn't matter how pious. And if you have a near-death experience, you're no closer to it than you are when you're in the physical body, because that's still an imaginary dimension. All the Buddhas and the Bodhisattvas, together with all those wriggling things possessed of life, share in this great nirvanic nature. This nature is mind. Mind is the Buddha, and the Buddha is the Dharma. Any thought apart from this truth is entirely a wrong thought. You cannot use mind to seek mind, nor the Buddha to seek the Buddha, nor the Dharma to seek the Dharma. All seeking must stop. And the seeker must realize that there is no seeker but that which is sought. So you students of the way, the Tao, should immediately refrain from all conceptual thought. Because conceptual thinking is the obstacle. It cannot reach the real. Let a tacit understanding be all. Any mental process must lead to error. There is just a transmission of mind with mind. In other words, when the mind reaches the silence of the absolute will reveal itself to you. And all that had been relative, all that had been so solid that you couldn't not believe it, dissolves into light, and the light into that pure mind that is formless. Nothing remains. There was never a world, never a cosmos, never a being going through time trying to learn about the mystery. All of it dissolves. This is the proper view to hold. It is not a view, of course. Be careful not to look outward to material surroundings. To mistake material surroundings for mind is to mistake a thief for your son. Don't be cheated of the truth of your divine nature by looking to the environment to support you. Whether it's Mount Arunachala in India, or it's some other pilgrimage location, or it's a being, or it's any kind of object or subtle concept, don't look to any of it to ring your bell, because none of it is meant for you. You do not pertain to any of the illusion. You are not different from it, but you do not belong to it. And once it has dissolved in the consciousness that is beyond all differentiation, only then will the true nature of the real be given to your perception. Yogis disidentify from the body and therefore from the family system, the social system, the national system, the scientific system, and all the other illusions. Recognize the one reality, the one law of love, and the one truth that cannot be expressed in words and can only be known when the heart and the mind are both open, completely free of any preconceptions, prejudices, longings, desires, or fears. Because all conceptions, all thoughts, all images, all emotions, all reactions are based on the delusional identity of an ego that never existed. Let go of all of those attachments, whether to the body, to the human species, to planet Earth, or to this kalpa, or to anything whatsoever that is not the Supreme Reality. And only then will you be saved from suffering and from the illusions that lead into an interminable series of lives of seeking that which you have rejected, which was yourself. Don't fall into time. Don't fall into thought. Don't fall from the lotus throne of the luminous presence that alone is the real self. May you know the peace that comes of realizing you are not the body or the mind or any limited being, and surrender entirely to that absolute self, more subtle than anything that can be grasped. And may you know the peace of the complete liberation from karma, from suffering, from superego attacks, from all psychological states, and from localization in space and time. And know the peace that comes of abiding in the eternal, real. And may you know the even deeper, supreme peace of that eternal presence that is eternally absent from all worlds, eternally transcendent, eternally blissful, and that is eternally forgiving of all beings in the absolute compassionate love that uplifts and unifies and brings to fruition the full potentiality reflected in the dream through the awakening of the dreamer to its own absolute nature of perfection.